Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Shout out in the tip of the cap to Pete and Earl for getting us up to speed every 30 all day long. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. ALCS action continues tonight. The Astros trying to do what the Nationals did and win a league championship series. They need two more wins to do it. If the Yankees are going to knock off Houston, who won the World Series 2 years ago and lost in the ALCS to Boston last year, they're going to have to get hot at the plate against a tremendous pitching staff. There was a rainout in the ALCS yesterday, which means instead of a bullpen game four for Houston today, they now get to throw Zach Greinke on normal rest. They get to bring Justin Verlander back earlier on normal rest. The order for the Yankees got taller than it was previously, but Houston's leading that series 2-1. We just had Jim Bowden on the show last hour. He was the first ever GM in Nationals history, and he's covering the ALCS for network radio. And here's what he had to say about who would be a tougher matchup for the Nationals and how they would stack up against those two teams in the AL.
I do think Houston is the best team in the sport. I thought that in March before they traded for Greinke and before Yordan Alvarez became the rookie of the year. I just think that the pitching is dominant. Now, that being said, here's kind of how I feel. I feel like the Nationals at this point can match up with the Astros. I think they can take them to seven games. I think the Nationals would beat the Yankees if they were matched up right now. And the reason for that is I believe that Steven Strasburg has become a true number one ace dominant pitcher that I want pitching game seven. So when you got Scherzer and what this Strasburg is, Corbin and his slider, I just feel like they're capable of running the table. Hudson's pitching great. Doolittle looks like he's back to form. And the blend of these kids and the veterans on the Nationals, that's a special combination. You know, when Soto comes up and grabs his whatever and stares at the pitcher, and then delivers. I mean, the kid is just so ridiculously talented. And you watch Victor Robles run the ball down in center field. You know, Turner can change a 2-2 game by stealing a base. Rendon may win the MVP. If not, he's going to definitely finish in the top three and become the highest paid position player in free agency this offseason. And so then you got guys like Zim and Kendrick that can flat out hit. And now they're on the biggest stage with the biggest moment with rest. And they're serious threats. They're threats as if they're in their prime because they only have to do it for seven games. So I feel like the Nationals would be able to give Houston a seven-game series, and I believe they're good enough to beat the Yankees. So, yeah, I don't look at them as a wild-card team. And, again, I go back to March where I put them. I thought they were that kind of team. I was disappointed the first 2 months. I didn't understand it. But now, apparently, they're living up to everything we thought.
That's impartial Jim Bowden there. That's a guy who's from a national level looking at this thing saying he would pick them to beat the Yankees and he would have them losing as far as the series would go, taking the Astros to the brink in game seven. He feels better, honestly, about their chances than I do. He also downplayed the seven-game layoff. He didn't think that was that big of a deal. I happen to think that it's a huge deal and a huge detriment.
I think it's the story for the Nats, yeah.
Me too. I would pick the Yankees to beat them. I would pick the Astros to beat them. Now, I picked the Dodgers to beat them. So what does that mean? I think those other two teams are a little bit better. But here's my answer. For me, it's not close. The Astros starting pitching would be able to match up with the Nationals.
And supersede it potentially.
But here's why it wouldn't supersede it maybe, Danny. And assuming they don't wrap this thing up in five games, they're not going to be able to line up their pitching. If they could, and they went Verlander, Scherzer, Gerrit Cole, Strasburg, Zach Greinke, Patrick Corbin, then yes, the Astros' big three narrowly is a little bit better than the Nationals' big three. But they might not be able to line it up that way, and they might have to have a fourth guy start, or it might be Greinke to start the series against Scherzer. Slight advantage how Greinke's thrown to Max. It might be, you know, a different lay of the land than they would have chosen. I still think the Astros, with their lineup who hits so many home runs, so much power against some guys like Scherzer who are great but give up the long ball, playing indoors in Houston for a couple of games in a much harder environment to win in my opinion, than Yankee Stadium. I think they would be a much tougher opponent because of their rotation. I also think their lineup's a little better than the Yankees, even though the Yankees are loaded.
Well, it's more complete. There's a greater variety to it. The Yankees have a bunch of boppers. I mean, everyone from Stanton, if he comes back and plays, to Aaron Judge, to Gary Sanchez. What do they all have in common? They hit a ball 10 miles, but they can also strike out and go through cold spells. Think about guys like Brantley, Altuve, Springer, who's had massive hits, Gurriel. These are super tough outs. Alex Bregman didn't even mention. Probably, you know, maybe the top five MVP guy.
You haven't mentioned Yordan Alvarez, who I think's the scariest hitter in that lineup.
And there's another guy. Yeah, I mean, so he struck out a little bit in this postseason, but the other guys are going to battle you, and they're going to get to your bullpen. We keep saying this as the Nationals have gone to the World Series, so we sound like horses' asses, but at some point, guys besides your stud pitchers who have been incredible, and now Tanner Rainey, you could put him in the good pile, and do a little Hudson. Someone else is going to have to pitch.
Well, you could put Rainey in the good pile for the LCS.
So far, yes.
I'm not putting him in that pile for the World Series. I mean, this is a guy I've loved all along. Was desperate to call him up from the minors. His stuff's unbelievable. But he throws a lot of balls and he walks a lot of batters. And that's not suddenly just never going to happen again. If it happens in the World Series, you're in big, big trouble. Here's what you need to know about the Astros pitching staff. George Springer in the playoffs, in 8 games and over 30 at-bats, has hit 121 with 1 RBI. It hasn't mattered. Carlos Correa has hit 161 with 1 home run. 31 at-bats, 8 games. It hasn't mattered. You mentioned Michael Brantley. 250 average with 1 home run in these playoffs. It has not mattered. The only guy that's killing the ball for them is Jose Altuve. He's got 4 jacks, 6 stakes, 375 average, and a 1,200 ops. You look at the OPSs, Springer 400. Correa, 484. Gurriel, 539. Alvarez, about 600, but still only has 1 RBI, no homers. As you said, 13 strikeouts, but Correa's got more, 14. Springer's got about the same. The Astros are not hitting at all. It's been a little bit of Bregman and a lot of Altuve, and they're still winning these series. And in some cases, they haven't even had to compete that hard in some of these games. They've won going away. It's a lot of 2-0, 3-0, 5-1 type games. Because of their pitching, I'd rather take on a team that scares me offensively in the playoffs, like the Yankees would, and the Astros do too. I think they're a little better, even though they're not hitting right now, than a team that scares me with starting pitching. Now, whose bullpen is better? I think you'd probably say the Yankees' bullpen's a lot better than the Astros. But you know what's been great for Houston in the playoffs? Their bullpen. Their relief pitching has probably statistically outpitched the Yankees, even though they've got all the names and they're scary. If you're down a run to the Yankees after 6, it's a good night. We've known that all year. But Will Harris, 5 appearances, 5 strikeouts, no runs allowed. Roberto Ozuna, their closer, 5 appearances, 5 innings, 6 strikeouts. I think he's got 1 run allowed at this point, has an ERA of 1.6. The kid that you and I talked about wanting the Nationals to trade for as part of a Bryce Harper trade that was actually put together and ownership didn't allow last year, Josh James from the Astros, has pitched 4 times and struck out 6 batters in 3 innings. He's been unbelievable. Their whole pen's been untouchable.
Yeah.
So I don't see a flaw here from a pitching standpoint for Houston. The Yankees do have a better bullpen. Their lineup is close. But does Masahiro Tanaka, who's great in the playoffs, scare you? Does the way that their other starters thrown, Luis Severino the other day, does that scare you? I'll take the Nats starters over those guys.
Paxton hadn't been great either.
Got knocked out. Was it the first inning, the second inning when he got pulled the other day?
I thought it was in the third, but you may be right. Maybe it was the second. I can't remember.
What are we doing here?
Yeah. So, but to me, the Yankees is the better matchup because you could catch them on a spell where it's boom or bust, and it might be bust, right? You might have, you know, your strikeout guys striking guys out, and you can get deep into a game, and you got a chance. But if you're losing, it's not going to be like trying to come back against St. Louis or somebody else. Not that the Nats had to. But to me, it's, again, both teams would be favored over the Nationals, you would say, in Vegas. But the Nationals, to me, would have a better chance against the Yankees than Houston, who I think is made in the lab. They are the AL and superior version of the Dodgers.
So you're with me. You'd rather play the Yankees than the Astros.
100%.
I wonder how many people are with us. 800-636-1067. I want to get to your thoughts on this next. And let's answer this question from our buddy Matt Emanuel, just texted us, or tweeted us, rather. He said, how nervous are we about terrible Yankees fans being in abundance at Nationals Park
Very
in the World Series?
Incredibly nervous.
This makes me sweat. I'm actually not worried about that at all. You think there's not a lot of Cardinals fans that wanted tickets the other night? There weren't that many Cardinals fans there. You think there wouldn't be a lot of Astros fans that would come too? Here's the difference. This is what I always harp on. If you buy the tickets, then they're not available for other people. The reason there are always so many Mets fans and Phillies fans is because Nationals fans sit on their hands and don't buy tickets in May and June. They don't care enough to go to the ballpark. It drives me out of my mind. But what you give them credit for and what's been amazing is that not only have they been louder than other ballparks and more engaged than other ballparks and more supportive probably in game when their team has trailed against Milwaukee and against the Dodgers than in other ballparks, there have been lines at the ticket window that are longer than the number of tickets available for Nationals fans that want to go to these games. So I don't think you'll be overtaken. Will there be more Yankees fans there than Astros fans? Yeah, probably. It's a quick train ride. It's easy travel. Secondary market's always available for you.
And finance bros are going to pay the $5,000, $6,000 just to get in there. They'll do it.
But this is not going to be some overtaking where there's 15,000 Yankees fans and 25,000 Nats fans. For the playoffs in a event town, we show up. Remember all the Caps fans that all of a sudden were outside of Caps Arena at Capital One?
Oh, yeah.
On F Street? Probably hadn't been to a Caps game in their entire lives. And I'm not knocking them. I want you. I want everyone there.
Everyone's welcome.
I want people on the street, on Half Street, all the way down to Big Stick. I want Walter's window to be open, people to watch the TV screen from outside of Nats Park. Everybody's welcome. But this is when we come to play in D.C. When our teams are good, we're all over it. We're loud in the playoffs. We're engaged in the playoffs. I'm not worried about Yankees fans. 800-636-1067 is the number. Who would you rather have to play in the World Series, the Astros or the Yankees? We're Grant and Danny. The Yankees are hitting .255 this postseason. That's the highest batting average of any team in the playoffs. The Astros are hitting .217. Only the Cardinals who hit .201. Jeez. I wonder why they got swept.
Yeesh.
Only the Cardinals have hit worse than the Astros. The Yankees have scored 33 runs in six games. Houston has scored 26 runs in eight games.
But I feel like a lot of what New York did was make some hay against the Twins, who have lost a million straight postseason games.
Yeah.
And beat them up then. Doesn't feel like they're generating much against Houston pitching, does it?
No, they certainly haven't. But look at the Yankees pitching staff has a 196 average against right now.
Yeah.
Only the Nats, 186. And the Brewers in one game, 172 better. So really, it's been the Nationals and the Yankees in terms of the most dominant pitching staffs. The Astros have been very good as well, now, particularly when you look at the starting pitching so far. But if you look at stuff, the Nats, 123 strikeouts, blow everyone else out of the water. The Astros are next at 86, and then the Yankees only have 65 strikeouts, granted in two fewer games. But I think the point there is, if you don't want to deal with velocities that you can't catch up to and breaking balls are going to be dropping into the dirt under your bat, you probably want to stay away from Houston. The question is, who do you guys want to face? For me, I'd rather have to deal with the Yankees than the Astros. Danny agrees.
Yeah, I think it's the Yankees. This is maybe a little bit too scientific, but I just look at who's better. The Astros, I think, are the best team, and the best team doesn't always win. I'd like there to be an upset where the Yankees come back from two games to one. They beat the hell out of each other. The Yankees weakened using their full complement of bullpen because that's where their strength is. And then you try to beat them that way. To me, that's the best path for the Nationals to win.
When's the last time we had a conversation this fun on the show? Who would you rather play in the World Series?
Well, because what are we
in 5 days when it starts?
Yeah.
How crazy is this?
Just I want those teams to go a million rounds, play 30 innings a night. I want everyone to have to pitch a million innings. Do it.
Along those lines, we're on Twitter at Grant H. Paulson at Funny Danny. Jason said Astros will have to overuse their starting pitchers on short rest to beat the Yankees. Which is possible, especially with the rain out now, more games jammed into a shorter time.
If the Yankees get it tonight, then maybe.
Amy says, Verlander and Greinke have been rocked so far. I think the Nats can handle them. Just have to figure out Cole. Verlander, by getting rocked, had one game that wasn't great. Greinke has not pitched well, I will give you that, clearly. Frank says, hoping for that the long layoff doesn't hurt the Nationals. We've been talking about that for several days. get to the phones. Get it started. Rich in Manassas. How are you?
Hey, Rich.
Hey, Grant and Danny. First of all, thanks a lot for taking my call because I am still reeling from Tuesday night's win. I was there, and it was just – it was – for me, being a Washingtonian fan, I mean, a very special moment. One of the best ever. I have a different thought on this. I mean, statistically, you just went through a lot of numbers, and I'm a baseball fanatic, and I get it. It's a numbers game. It's all about the stats. But in this particular situation, I would love nothing more than to go up against the evil empire in Yankee Stadium. It, for me, it's October. The wind's blowing. It's a little chilly out. We need to be in that auditorium. I'm telling you, it would be the best. Because we're kind of ranked as the underdog, we would have more fans cheering for the Nationals because we're playing
country.
The Yankees.
Oh, you're right about that.
The nation.
When you play the Yankees, especially in a World Series, you gain fans in every market you never knew yet you were going to have.
Allies from everywhere. Orioles fans coming out of the woodwork. We're going, I hope you guys do it.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. That's a great point. The Nationals would be America's team if they're playing against the Astros. The Yankees. The Astros, contrarily, are so much more likable. Even though they've already won a title 2 years ago, and the Yankees haven't won but one in the 2000s, in like 2009. It's been 10 years, believe it or not, which for them is forever.
Yeah.
The Astros are now the mainstay and, quote-unquote, should be the boring team that makes you roll your eyes that they're back. But it's the kids. It's Bregman. It's Correa and 5 foot 5 inch Altuve and Springer, bunch of first-round picks and guys signed internationally who – people really like big smiles, have fun playing. So, yeah, I think the Nats would draw a lot more interest and fandom around the country if it was the Yankees. But what about this thing that we mentioned right before we went to break? What about this tweet from Matt who asked about if they play the Yankees, are you concerned about Yankees fans getting into the ballpark? I'm not as much as I would be in the regular season because Nats fans want these tickets. They're desperate for us. When the tickets become available tomorrow, they're going to be available for like 7 minutes or something like that. Here's the issue, though, is the secondary market.
Well, the ticket brokers know where the money is. And the
StubHub's going to charge $900, and they don't care if you're from New York or D.C.
Right. I mean, but it's not even that. It's the guys that, you know, they buy them at face value. They somehow get them because of some sort of shady connection, however it always happens. And then they go to, you know, finance bro Phil, who spends 10 grand a ticket and takes the Acela down or a helicopter or something like that and brings like, you know, 20 people from the Hamptons. That's what's going to happen.
Let's go to Matt in Gainesville on the fan. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, guys. Long-time listener, 15-time caller.
Appreciate you.
Love it.
Given, kind of echoing the last caller, however, just that it's so much more compelling of a story to beat the Yankees. It's the equivalent of beating the Patriots or the Cowboys in the Super Bowl or the Lakers in the NBA Finals. Like, yeah, the Astros are better or worse, but I don't really have any similar kind of bragging rights when you stop on the stinking historic Yankees. Is going to be so satisfying.
Historically speaking, like 50 years from now, if we're old enough, if we're lucky enough at that age, I'll be long gone, but you might still be around, to tell your grandparents about the series, it's going to sound a lot cooler to say the Nationals beat the Yankees in the 2019 World Series. I get that. The Astros are better, though. I mean, it's going to be more impressive if you beat the Astros. But his point is larger. It's kind of like the romanticism of baseball. There's just something to be said for, who'd you beat to win your first title? We beat the damn Yankees. The team that's got 40 pennants and 27 world championships. Mike in Fairfax, what's up?
What's up, Mike?
Grant, Danny, love the show, first off.
Appreciate you.
I would much rather see the Yankees just because, I mean, Danny, I know you've played baseball. You look at that Astros lineup from top to bottom, they can pretty much go station to station on you. It feels like the Yankees are a little bit more of a power hitting team. Not that the Astros aren't, but you know, the Astros got some speed on in the lineup. They can run, they can do virtually anything they want to do. I think the Yankees are a little bit more limited. Plus the Astros, they've got a great pitching staff. However, on that note, I don't know if it matters who we face this year. There's something about this team that you don't see in a lot of teams. They just really gel, and they've got that team chemistry.
Yeah, I hope that wins the day, more so than the matchup. Because even if you go, oh, well, there's the Yankees. We haven't even mentioned Gleyber Torres yet, who's hitting a million. He's got a homer you know, more home runs than you could shake a stick at and tons of RBIs. He's carrying this offense off a kind of ho-hum 280, 38 homer season as kind of the future mainstay of the franchise as a 22-year-old.
He hit 38 home runs. You've seen him on TV. And I don't know, did you go to a Yankees game in the last couple of years? You probably have seen him.
It's been a while. I haven't seen him in person, no.
In person, he is a small guy. I'll look up real quick what he's listed
at. But this is the new league. But think of Alex Bregman, a 40-homer hitter.
I know.
Looks like a,
he's,
I don't know,
listed 6'1", 200. If he's 6'1", I'll eat your sweatshirt.
Yeah. And
he's same as at Bregman, right? It's like, yeah, it's a lot of 5'9", maybe he's 5'10", 5'11".
But Altuve, goodness sakes, has four homers in the postseason, and he's 5'5".
Yeah, it is nuts. But yeah, he's hitting 417. LeMahieu's hitting 333. If you just run through their regulars right now, Encarnacion has not hit, and Brett Gardner's not hitting. Urshela has struggled, but other than that, I mean, it's nothing but big swings. Aaron Judge is 7-for-22, hitting .320, and somehow he's not hitting the ball out of the park. He's only got the one homer. Who would you rather face, the Yankees or the Astros? That's the question. We'll squeeze in a couple more of your calls here on Grant and Danny. Also want to turn our attention, if we can, to Thursday Night Football tonight. First time in about, I don't know, a week and a half, I'm actually going to be able to watch a football game.
Yeah, I'm into it.
For four quarters and not have half of my attention on something Nationals related, which is kind of cool. You're listening to The Fan. With you until 2, as always. We'll run it back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Not going to let the cat out of the bag until tomorrow morning. But at 11 a.m. tomorrow, we're going to have a huge interview on Grant and Danny. Must listen, high end, top of the line, top shelf, A plus interview.
If you came up with a list of people you'd like to hear from right now, and it didn't include this person, I would be stunned. That's what I would say.
I would agree with that statement. He will be on the show at 11 a.m. tomorrow, and we'll make the announcement sometime in the 9 o'clock hour during the Junkies as to who you can listen to on this show tomorrow here on Grant and Danny on The Fan. We've been asking you who you'd rather play, the Astros or the Yankees. We're taking your calls on that right now. There is quite a bit of fear that if the Yankees played the Nationals, that they'd overtake Nationals Park. Yes, there would be Yankees fans. I think people are overdoing it a little bit. When DC sports fans want to be somewhere and they actually buy tickets, it's hard to get them. And yes, there are some secondary options, but that's very secondary. The Brewers overtook Nationals Park during their series at the regular season with about a month and a half left to play in the year. There are very few Brewers fans at the wild card game. Cardinals fans, Cubs fans, overtake Nationals Park during the regular season. Come the playoffs, you don't see many of them. There's a reason for that. We show up for playoff games here. We do it the right way in the playoffs. Hopefully we'll keep growing and developing in the regular season. There's a million reasons why people don't go to games, and you hear all the excuses on the show all the time. But we kill it in the playoffs, and we deserve a lot of credit as a city for that. So I'm not going to allow that to factor into my decision of Yankees versus Astros. I'm going to care a lot more about the baseball side of things. Kevin's in Arlington on The Fan. What's up, Kevin?
What's up, Kevin?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, let me just go a little old school. I was born in 1961. In 61, both Maris and Mantle were chasing 61. Prior to that, just a few years before, Broadway Smash was called Damn Yankees, and it later became a very successful film, which is, if you don't know about it, you need to look it up or see it before we end up playing the Yankees in the World Series. To me, it's just destined. You know, we've played and beaten the storied Dodgers. We've played and beaten the most storied National League franchise, the Cardinals. I think it's just destiny that we play and defeat the Yankees and then, you know, announce to Major League Baseball, Washington is truly back.
Thanks, Kevin.
Appreciate
it's a great
you,
phone call, as always, pal. I got a text from a buddy who said something similar, and it hadn't really hit me yet. He said, if you go through the Dodgers and then the Cardinals and then the Yankees, like you can't find three bluer bloods than that.
Seriously, I'd like to schedule some exhibitions against the Cubs right afterwards if they do that and then call it a day.
I mean, you just can't. Like that's history right there. In terms of championships, the Yankees are number one, the Cardinals are number two. In terms of winning seasons right now, the Nationals are fourth. The three teams ahead of them, consecutive winning seasons, the Nats have eight, are the Yankees, the Cardinals, and the Dodgers. I mean, those will be the three teams they will have beaten. Now, I happen to think that the Astros are the best-run organization in the sport. They're the most talented team in the sport. They're going to be around for the next several years, and they're in the beginning of a dynasty. So I think it would be all the same if you beat Houston, but I understand in terms of the big picture, decades of baseball history of this thing, why the Yankees might mean a little bit more. Dan's in Fairfax. Hey, Dan.
Hey, great topic, guys. I would much rather face the Yankees because I worry about our bats going cold against the Astros pitchers, especially Verlander and Cole. But I also wanted to say, you know, D.C. baseball's future is bright, but like Davey said, we got to stay in the fight. We're the best team in the league, without a doubt. Curly W is what it's all about. It's the Nationals, the Nationals. Everybody's talking about the Nationals.
Thank you, Fairfax. Damn. Dan, yesterday we had someone call in, and they sang like Frank Sinatra-style crooning.
It was
Fairfax,
Ned. I
Dan
remember. Was,
bringing yeah. this game today. We're good for like one call a day where someone sings to us.
What always happens is there's a point that's made, and it's this and this, and one more thing, and then you don't know where that other thing is going, and it's a song. You're never ready for it. You don't. Neither I will. A little behind the fourth wall here. Neither you or I really knows what to do when that happens. We're just sort of here. We're just sort of. Is it our show still for a little while? Feels like it may not be. We've turned the keys over to somebody for a moment.
I'll take a Dan song whenever he can give me one. Fairfax Dan has been with us since day one.
He's belting out tunes.
He's been calling us about the Nats since 2014. If he wants to call in and sing a little bit, I'm going to let him call in
song.
And sing a little bit.
He updated a verse. It's like a remix back in the lab.
The Nationals, the Nationals. Everybody's talking about the Nationals. We got the best coaches and hitters, too. You know they're going to score a lot of runs for you. So go on out to the park today. Because hit me on coach, I'm ready to play. It's a Nationals.
Now, I got to let this ride just because I get steamed up for Keith Elgin.
Keith brings the fastball to this one.
Nationals, Nationals.
It's like real life good singing.
Yeah.
You know?
Everybody's talking about the Nationals.
So impressed by it.
We're seeing playoff time is here again. Go tell your family, go tell your friends. Come on down to the park today. The Nationals are going all the way. Nationals.
Attaboy, Keith. Attaboy, Dan.
There we go.
Now, my point, though, Danny, is, again, I hope the phone lines are full every day for the next month on the Nationals, and I hope it's people we've never heard from. It's good for us. It's good for the team. It's good for the town.
It's good for everybody.
But Fairfax Dan was calling us to break down a Matt Williams decision in 2014. So if he wants to call in and sing for 20 seconds.
He's like, this team is 80-81, but I'm telling you, next year they're going to win 98 games. You're like, really, Dan?
My guy's been ride or die. Before you and I were cashing ratings bonuses for going number one because people started caring about the Nationals, Fairfax Dan was there. So I'll ride with Fairfax Dan. Let's go to Joanne in Fairfax. What's up?
Hi, Joanne.
Hey, Joanne. Hey, Joanne.
What's up,
Danny?
That. Hey, Grant.
Dan got me so messed up with his song. I swear to God, I am not singing. I have a question for you guys.
Please.
Yes, I want the Yankees to win because I think, like you said, it would be great to do it. But I read an article in a sports page this morning that said the Houston Astros have been accused for years of stealing signs.
They lead the league in sign stealing.
Right. Isn't there anything MLB can do about that? I mean, they say that there's cameras hidden places, and
they've
tried. And
here's the deal, Joanne. Thank you for the call.
It's a great call.
By the way, this is something I've already jotted down to talk a lot about before the start of the World Series, whether it's tomorrow or Monday or Tuesday. I think it's going to be Houston, and we'll do it Monday or Tuesday. And maybe while we're in Houston, by the way.
Who knows?
They're ahead of the curve, right? So is it cheating? Is it not? People have been stealing signs for a million years, right? You're allowed to stand on second and peer in at the catcher, and then you can tip your batter off to what's coming. What you haven't been allowed to do is use technology and electronics. And supposedly the Astros have done that.
And the Red Sox were accused of that not that long ago.
A lot of teams have using Apple Watches and doing different things now. I was at the ALCS for MLB Network Radio last year when they were playing the Red Sox. And one of their employees, and I'd have to go back and read the details again because it's a little bit gray. But one of their employees who was credentialed through the team got in trouble for where he was sitting for essentially relaying things. Now, it's different when a pitcher just tips his pitches the other night against them. Tyler Glass now, and they pick that up. But they are essentially the Patriots of baseball in that everyone is assuming that they're doing something illegal at all times. They happen to also be better than everyone else. So the question is, how much of that worry, concern, the anxiety, and the paranoia is, well, they have to be doing something. They can't just be this good. I think part of it is like a tall tale folklore. I also think that they are pushing the envelope and they are doing everything they can technologically and otherwise. And a lot of other teams do it too, and maybe they just don't do it as well. Mm. I don't know.
The sense I have, and I think you're right, saying, well, the only reason Jose Altuve, a superstar, is doing this is because he knows the signs. No. Same with Bregman. Same with Correa. Same with Alvarez. I mean, they're studs.
But it's part of why I fear them.
But it's also an ingredient.
It's something you've got to deal with.
It doesn't mean Tom Brady ain't a Hall of Famer. It doesn't mean Bill Belichick's not the greatest coach we've ever seen on this planet. But it also, they stole.
Let's get an early look at what kind of underdog the Nationals would be in the World Series against these two teams, as well as take a look at tonight's NFL matchup and some of the big games ahead, Redskins 49ers this weekend, with one of our buddies from the Action Network. Coming up on Grant and Danny.
The Washington Nationals are in the World Series for the first time in franchise history. Louisville Slugger's been making bats since 1884, and BigTimeBats.com is releasing this Nationals World Series two-tone bat. The full-size bat has the team colors with a red barrel and blue handle, and has the World Series and Nationals Curly W logos with that NL Champions logo laser engraved right there on the bat. The full-size bat is limited to just 5,000 individually numbered bats and sells for $129.95 plus shipping. Also available is the World Series team signature bat with the facsimile signatures of the players and the World Series and NL Championship logos. Both bats can be purchased in a stunning two-bat set. Go to BigTimeBats.com now to order or call 866-280-BATS. That's 866-280-BATS for this historic Nationals first playoff series win bat. Trademarks and logos used with permission.
Grant and Danny, final few minutes, 106.7 The Fan. Evan Abrams, who's joining us now, is sponsored by the Action Network. Looking for an edge? Download the free Action Network app and get live odds and expert analysis for every game. We love catching up with Evan on Thursdays to wind the show down. If the Nats take on the Astros or the Yankees in the World Series, Evan, as you can imagine, everyone's jacked up about baseball here in town right now. What would be the difference in terms of their level of underdoggedness, if that's a word?
Yeah, sure. Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. I mean, right now, the futures for the World Series, even with the ALCS still going on, kind of tell you the picture of what the World Series is going to look like. The Astros right now at DraftKings are minus 112 favorites to win the World Series. The Yankees are plus 550, and the Nationals are squeezed in between at plus 145. The interesting thing about the Astros being favored to win it all is they're underdogs tonight, which kind of tells you the story of what you're walking into in terms of tonight's game, with 64% of tickets on the Yankees at home in the Bronx, and they're favored. That's kind of the story that's going on. And listen, we make the Astros favorite in this game. We think, you know, rolling towards the wrong direction here, and it just doesn't really make too much sense. But that's kind of the market. So if the Astros move on and they're going to face the Nationals, price is definitely going to be much bigger just based on the futures market.
Evan, help the uninitiated like myself clarify that a little bit. So, or go into that rather. So if the Nationals play the Yankees, they would be underdogs still, right? But not as dramatic as they would be against the Astros. What's that gap there?
The gap is, listen, it also, what I think is going to end up happening is if it's Astros, first of all, either side, it's going to be favored on the American League, mm-hmm. and it's going to be heavy favored. And my thing is, I think sharp people will look at the Nationals, a really, really good pitching staff, a 1-2 that maybe rivals what Houston has, potentially, but I think the thing that makes it really interesting is the wider gap closer to game one with that series price. It's going to be massive in the difference, because I just think Houston getting back to that spot versus the Yankees, who haven't been there even with their, you know, public perception, that Houston price, it's going to be really, really big.
All right, let's get into the NFL games that you like the most this weekend. One of them is the 49ers and the Redskins. The line is 9.5 in a Kyle Shanahan revenge game return to D.C. He's a heavy favorite. What about this game makes it one of your three big plays of the week?
Yeah, listen, I mean, I think this is an interesting spot for Washington. Washington looked good in their last game considerably. When you play the Dolphins, everybody looks good. But I think I did some digging here. And when you look at San Francisco coming off a really emotional performance, a game that really was probably their game of the year, their game of the last 2 years, they really, really, really wanted to beat up on the Rams. And you saw it after that first possession. They really dominated that game. And you would normally look at San Francisco walking into this spot and it being a, you know, a letdown in a situation, especially being such a high road favorite. But to me, I think there's value in Washington here only for one real choice, is that Keenum is such a better quarterback in terms of what he displays than the other two guys in Haskins and McCoy. It's pressure percentage, it's sack percentage, it's time to throw. It makes Washington's offense a little bit better. I think the play is the under, and I'm also going to look at Washington. Everything screams the under here.
Evan, tonight, Kansas City, I'm seeing 3 points in most of the books here, road favorites against Denver. Kansas City off a couple losses, Denver off a couple wins. I feel like Kansas City's got something to prove here, and I really like them tonight. What are your thoughts?
I mean, listen, everyone's agreeing with you. 79% of the tickets, 75% of the money, it's all on KC. But yet, we see the line really coming down. According to our system, I think 2.5 is going to start coming soon, which is, you know, might be shocking to people. It is sitting at 3. But what Mahomes has done over the last few weeks and what KC's pass rush has looked like in their last two games with 7 sacks and 26 pressures. They only had 5 sacks and 36 pressures the previous 4 games. Even, you know, without their stud, they've looked good. Well, listen, I played Denver at 3.5. If this gets to 2.5, there is no question I'm going to buy back. But I think Denver really offers KC's rushing defense a really, really difficult game. Really difficult.
Evan, great information and nuggets. As always, we'll send people to the Action Network to check out some of your big plays. We appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, guys. Fun week.
Thanks,
you
buddy.
Got Evan Abrams with us every week on Thursdays to wind the show down. Sponsored by the Action Network. Looking for an edge? Download the free Action Network app and get live odds and expert analysis for every single game. Quick reminder that if you missed Terry McLaurin yesterday, who was really, really good and worth podcasting, Jim Bowden, I thought, was exceptional today on the show. We also had Carl Hagelin on, who was really good as always. You can listen to all of our segments at thefandc.com or grantanddanny.com/audio. And you got to re-download your radio.com app. Best way to take the show with you on the go. You already knew that. But there's a new feature on the update for radio.com called the 24-hour radio.com rewind. If you download the app, select our station, you can go back in time and listen to anything from today's show, yesterday's show. It's essentially DVR for radio.
That's very cool.
Really, really neat addition. I'll remind you one more time, and you will know who it is as of probably around 9:15 or 9:30 tomorrow. But at 11 a.m. on Grant and Danny, we've got a huge guest tomorrow morning you will want to be listening to.
That is going to do it for us. Quick reminder, tomorrow night in Gaithersburg, I'm performing at the Arts Barn, the Arts on the Green. You can grab tickets, funnydanny.com, or check out my Twitter, @funnydanny. And now our watch has ended. There is no offseason at the St. James, the DMV's hottest destination for sports, wellness, and active entertainment. The St. James Sports Utopia. There is something for everyone there. The complex houses multiple state-of-the-art indoor venues. They have 2 regulation-sized ice rinks, turf field house, gymnastics center, even an Olympic-sized pool. So they offer training, instruction, and competitive leagues and teams for more than 20 sports. You got somebody just starting out, they got instruction for that. You got somebody more advanced, they got a team for that. You want to get better at something, they got a coach for you there. Or you just want to get in shape. People like me, I'm just a doughboy rolling around. Want to improve my body? Here's what you do. Premium Health Club offers top-of-the-line equipment and weights, dedicated personal trainers to help you achieve those body goals. Every new member gets 2 complimentary health assessments with a personal trainer. So much under one roof, you got to see it to believe it. Visit thestjames.com to learn more and schedule the tour. That's thestjames.com. St. James, welcome to your best.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.